Welcome to Weekly Sedition, the show dedicated to dissent and alternative lifestyles. This is Contra, and I'm your host every Tuesday at noon, right here on 97.3 WRIR, Richmond Independent Radio. You're listening to Radio for the Rest of Us. This promises to be one of my more controversial shows, so stay tuned. In the year 2004, a full-length documentary film called Loose Change was released on the internet. Bit by bit, the film built a case to support its main thesis, that the government of the United States was directly involved in the events that transpired on the morning of September 11th. I'm gonna go way out on a limb here and guess that the words conspiracy theory have already passed through your mind and are even now building defenses in your mind against... what? Against improbability? Against the possibility that you might find some value in the case to be presented, and thus end up one of those fringe conspiracy theorists you find so distasteful. Interestingly enough, a large portion of the American public is not finding this film distasteful at all. In fact, it has so pleased the palates of those who've seen it that there had to be a second edition of the film made in 2005. The second edition of Loose Change is now also online, free to all. Before the show begins, I submit this proposition, that if humanity always chooses to believe only that which we are spoon-fed from those in power, this world will be an even scarier place than it is at the moment. In fact, there was a time when this was the case. We now call it the Dark Ages. On the line with me now is Corey Rowe, producer of Loose Change, second edition, and founding member of Louder Than Words Productions. Corey, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
So give us a little backstory on Louder Than Words and the documentary Loose Change.
Sure thing. Louder Than Words Productions, or now formerly known as Louder Than Words LLC, was generated in the aftermath of Loose Change, the first edition. Loose Change, the first edition, was solely the brainchild of Dylan Avery. He created it on his own, and after he released it on the internet, it started coming up so much that he required help, so he came to me, and I became the sole producer for Loose Change, second edition, and Louder Than Words, LLC.
Now, Corey, before we get into the film, I wanted to talk a bit about where you were before the making of this film. I understand that you were actually in the Army.
Yes, I served 4 years in the United States Army. During that time, I did two tours, a six-month short tour in the invasion of Afghanistan and a 12-month tour in the invasion of Iraq. Serving my time in the military, seeing, you know, the behind-the-scenes pictures and seeing what the reporters shot before they edited it, and then brought it back and played it for American television. Things started to come together for me that what we were doing and the mission that we were outlaying to the American public wasn't the major agenda of what we were trying to achieve in either of those nations in the Middle East. And then with Dylan's research, and as he was coming up with the initial making of Loose Change, him and I were in contact with it because we've been friends since we were little. And he was just letting me know about things he was finding out. And with the information that he was showing me and that I was researching for myself and seeing with my own eyes, and during the presidency of George W. Bush and the administration and the war in the Middle East, things started to come together in a clearer picture, where I went from a gung-ho soldier who supported the mission and supported what we were doing to a soldier who realized that what we were doing was not legal anymore, and that it, something had to be done, and that it was either my time to get out or make a decision. So my time came up, my contract was over, so I decided to get out and join Dylan in his fight for the truth. And I feel what I'm doing now, it still stands for the oath that I said that I would defend this country and the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So I mean, that's what I think I'm doing now.
Well, let's talk about Loose Change. I understand that it was originally a fictional film about this subject. Is that correct, or have I been misinformed on that?
No, originally the story Loose Change, which is still a project of ours that we'd like to do in the near future, was a fictional story about myself and Dylan and one other of our friends who came across information that the attacks of September 11th had more of a government conspiracy. It was supposed to be a fictional story. And in the creation of the movie and Dylan researching for the film, he came across articles that started to lead him to believe that there was another story to than what we had been told, and it became trying to put this information in with the movie, and it became to the point where there was so much information that he felt compelled to branch off into the making of the documentary into what you see today.
So, how many times has this film been dismissed as conspiracy theory?
Well, there's a thing about conspiracy theorists, and there's what we are, which is conspiracy factualists. Anybody who hears the word conspiracy automatically is going to start to throw it off. They're not going to listen. They're not going to pay attention. What we bring to the table, what we bring forward, is conspiracy factuals. We bring facts, scientific fact, brought up by pictures, by accounts of people, scientific explanations of how things should have gone down and the way that they didn't. We're not conspiracy theorists. What we bring to people is not a theory. It's something that we can prove.
Before we continue the interview, let's hear a clip from the film. What you are about to hear is a list of curious, if not downright suspicious, events that took place previous to 9/11. This audio is taken from the first few minutes of the film before the title card even comes up. Let's listen.
August 1997. The cover of FEMA's Emergency Response to Terrorism depicts the World Trade Center in crosshairs. February 28, 1998. The Global Hawk, Raytheon's unmanned aircraft vehicle, completes its first flight over Edwards Air Force Base in California at an altitude of 32,000 feet, cruising altitude for a commercial jetliner. 1999. NORAD begins conducting exercises in which hijacked airliners are flown into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. June 2000. The Department of Justice releases a terrorism manual with the World Trade Center in crosshairs. September 2000. The Project for a New American Century, a neoconservative think tank whose members include Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Jeb Bush, and Paul Wolfowitz, releases their report, entitled Rebuilding America's Defenses. In it, they declare that the process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event, like a new Pearl Harbor. October 24th, 2000. The Pentagon conducts the first of two training exercises called Mascow, which simulate a Boeing 757 crashing into the building. Charles Burlingame, an ex-Navy F-4 pilot who worked in the Pentagon, participates in this exercise before retiring to take a job at American Airlines, where, less than a year later, his Boeing 757 allegedly crashes into the building. April 2001. NORAD plans an exercise in which a plane is flown into the Pentagon, but is rejected as too unrealistic. June 2001. The Department of Defense initiates new instructions for military intervention in the case of a hijacking. It states that for all non-immediate responses, the Department of Defense must get permission directly from the Secretary of Defense. Attorney General John Ashcroft begins flying on chartered jets for the remainder of his term due to a threat assessment by the FBI. July 4th, 2001. Osama bin Laden, wanted by the United States since 1998, receives medical attention at the American Hospital in Dubai, where he is visited by a local chief of the CIA. July 24th, 2001. Larry A. Silverstein, who already owned World Trade Center 7, signs a $3.2 billion, 99-year lease on the entire World Trade Center complex 6 weeks before 9/11. Included in the lease is a $3.5 billion insurance policy, specifically covering acts of terrorism. September 6, 2001. 3,150 put options are placed on United Airlines stock. A put option is a bet that a stock will fall. That day, put options were more than four times its daily average. Bomb-sniffing dogs are pulled from the World Trade Center, and security guards end 2 weeks of 12-hour shifts. September 7th, 2001. 27,294 put options are placed on Boeing's stock, more than five times the daily average. September 10th, 2001. 4,516 put options are placed on American Airlines, almost 11 times its daily average. Newsweek reports that a number of top Pentagon brass canceled their flight plans for the next morning. San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown receives a phone call warning him not to fly the next morning. Pacifica Radio later reveals that this phone call came directly from National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. And in Pakistan, at a military hospital, all of the urologists are replaced by a special team in order to host their guest of honor, Osama bin Laden, who is carefully escorted inside to be watched carefully and looked after. September 11th, 2001. The National Reconnaissance Office in Chantilly, Virginia, is preparing for an exercise in which a small corporate jet crashes into their building. NORAD is in the middle of a number of military exercises. The first, Vigilant Guardian, is described as an exercise that would pose an imaginary crisis to North American air defense outposts nationwide. The second, Northern Vigilance, moved fighter jets to Canada and Alaska to fight off an imaginary Russian fleet. Three F-16s from Washington, D.C.'s National Guard at Andrews Air Force Base, 15 miles from the Pentagon, are flown 180 nautical miles away for a training mission in North Carolina. This left 14 fighter jets to protect the entire United States.
All right, Boston Center, TMU. We have a problem here. We have a hijacked aircraft headed towards New York, and we need you guys to... We need someone to scramble some F-16s or something up there to help us out.
Is this real world or exercise?
No, this is not an exercise, not a test.
Do we want to think about scrambling aircraft?
God, I don't know.
That's a decision somebody's going to have to make probably in the next 10 minutes.
Everybody just left the room.
So this is where the film starts. Now, obviously our listeners couldn't see the film as they heard it, but each of these facts is accompanied by images of the original articles, archived footage, and photographs. And that's just the first 3 minutes. This is obviously a project that required a tremendous amount of research. Talk to me a little about that.
The research in general took a long time, 3.5 years. I wasn't there around for the larger aspect of it. I just mainly saw the clips of what Dylan was using in the film. But he went out and he did everything that he possibly could, reading every magazine, reading every article on the internet, interviewing every person. I mean, the research for this movie is never done, and it never will be. But just to this point was so intensive. I mean, it's just amazing.
Loose Change proposes several theories, some of which are more plausible than others, but most of which are more plausible than the official story. If I were to choose the best defended suggestion the film makes, it would be that the Twin Towers were brought down by controlled demolition. Which sounds absurd. I mean, let's be honest here, if what the film suggests is true, we're talking about the greatest deception ever perpetrated by a government in the history of mankind. So let's listen to how Loose Change approaches this issue of the Twin Towers being brought down by controlled demolition.
This is as close as we can get to the base of the World Trade Center. You can see the firemen assembled here, the police officers, FBI agents, and you can see the two towers. A huge explosion now, raining debris on all of us. We better get out of the way!
So what else could have caused the Twin Towers in Building 7 to collapse?
10 o'clock Eastern Time this morning, just collapsing on itself.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed.
We have no idea what caused this.
Almost looks like one of those planned implosions.
As if a demolition team set off, when you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it pulled it down on itself and it is not there anymore.
If you wish to bring anybody who's ever watched a building being demolished on purpose knows that if you're going to do this, you have to get at the under infrastructure of a building and bring it down.
We heard another explosion, and I'm assuming that's the one that came from the lower level.
Federal agencies that were down there do believe that there was some sort of explosive device somewhere else besides the planes hitting.
NBC's Pat Dawson is close to the scene of that attack. Pat? Just moments ago, I spoke to the chief of safety for the New York City Fire Department. Chief Albert Turry, he received word of the possibility of a secondary device, that is another bomb going off. He tried to get his men out as quickly as he could, but he said that there was another explosion which took place in one of the towers here. He thinks that there were actually devices that were planted in the building.
When a big explosion happened, all of a sudden the elevator blew up, smoke. I dragged the guy out, his skin was hanging off, and I dragged him out, and I helped him out of to the ambulance.
Walking down the stairs, we made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor.
Just got out of the tunnel, and it blew.
The subway tunnel?
Yeah.
Tell us what's happening out there.
We just
witnessed some kind of secondary follow-up explosion on the World Trade Center number 2. The one
secondary.
We understand now there has been a secondary explosion on Tower 2.
The FBI is here, as you can see. They had roped this area off. They were taking photographs and securing this area just prior to that huge explosion that we all heard and felt.
Coming over our radio, get out of the area, the second tower is coming down.
They tell you the second tower is coming.
Yes, it's about to collapse.
At 10:30, I tried to leave the building, but as soon as I got outside, I heard a second explosion and another rumble and more smoke and more dust. I ran inside the buildings, the chandeliers shook, and again, black smoke filled the air. Within another 5 minutes, we were covered again with more silt and more dust. And then a fire marshal came in and said we had to leave because if there was a third explosion, this building might not last.
The windows in the lobby of the North Tower were blown out, and marble panels were blown off of the walls. This was brushed off as damage from a raging fireball that went barreling down the elevator shafts. However, the World Trade Center's core and elevator shafts were hermetically sealed, aka airtight. On 9/11, New York City lost 343 firefighters at the World Trade Center. Since they were the ones inside the towers before and as they collapsed, I'd say they've got a pretty good grasp on what happened. So what does the FDNY think?
We made it outside, we made it about a block.
We made it at least two blocks, and we started running. Floor by floor, it started popping out.
It was like, it was if they had detonated.
Yeah,
as
detonated.
If they were planned to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom.
All the way down. I was watching it and running.
Just ran up West.
And then you just sort of this cloud of chasing you down.
In these interviews, numerous members of Engine 7 describe explosions preceding the collapses, not to mention the damage to the lobby in the North Tower. Firefighter Louis Caccioli told People Weekly, "I was taking firefighters up in the elevator to the 24th floor to get in position to evacuate workers. On the last trip up, a bomb went off. We think there were bombs set in the building." For more than a year, the Port Authority blocked the release of a tape of firefighters' transmissions from the World Trade Center on 9/11. In November 2002, the tape was finally released to the New York Times and other news outlets. Why did it take so long to get the tape released?
See, I got an eyewitness who said there was an explosion on floor 7-8. 7-8.
We just had another explosion.
Warren Street because of the secondary explosion. We've got numerous people covered with dust from the secondary explosion.
And we got another explosion on the tower, 10-13.
Number 2 has had a major explosion and what appears to be a complete collapse surrounding the entire area.
Who's involved in the secondary explosion at Tower 1K? I've got 5.
Mark Loiseau, the president of Controlled Demolition Incorporated, told the American Free Press that in the basements of the World Trade Center, where 47 central support columns connected to the bedrock, hot spots of literally molten steel were discovered more than a month after September 11th. These incredibly hot areas were found at the bottoms of the elevator shafts, down 7 basement levels. The molten steel was found 3, 4, and 5 weeks later, when the rubble was being removed. He said that molten steel was also found at World Trade Center 7. The highest temperature was in the east corner of the South Tower, where a temperature of 1,377 degrees Fahrenheit was recorded. The molten steel in the basement was more than double that temperature.
So, Corey, some of these audio clips are actually from corporate media sources, CNN, Fox, and the like. Others are from firemen and civilians that were there on the morning of September 11th. They all describe the same things. Multiple explosions at varying times and at varying points in the building. Several of the sources even mention that this looks remarkably like a controlled demolition, and later in the film we see close-up shots of the explosions actually taking place all the way down the building. So how did all this become completely erased from people's consciousness? How did all this evidence and commentary just disappear?
This is the way it happened. America was attacked, and we were rendered completely helpless. And it came to the point where the government came to the press and was like, you know, we don't really know what's going on. They didn't really want to tell them what was going on. They knew, but they couldn't tell the press. What they asked for was, then they said, you know, in this time, we need you to join us and help us and help the country through this process. So the government suggested different types of storylines that the press could go upon and create this story that was plausible and that made Americans united and made Americans stand up and want to help the cause. And it was a way of bouncing back from such a terrible tragedy. Just like recently, all this huge news coverage was on it, and it was big, and they did polls, and 87% of Americans wanted to investigate it, and now it's gone. It's just gone. And the reason that happens is because Americans love shows like American Idol and Lost. They get lost in their TV shows, and a story only lasts a couple of days because that's how long an American's person interest is in a news story. They see it, that's amazing, and they go back to it. That's how the Bush administration has consistently been able to lie about every single thing that they're doing. I mean, the spying on American citizens and the cherry-picking of intelligence to the war of Iraq. I mean, the list is endless. And Clinton got impeached for sexual indiscretion. I mean, they spent $300 million on an investigation into a sexual indiscretion where the biggest tragedy in American history, they had to fight to get the 9/11 Commission to go, and they only spent $30 million. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
So how can people see this film and find out more about the research that went into it?
Absolutely. I mean, you can go to our website, which is www.loosechange911.com. Everything is there. Everything is on that website. I mean, the entire movie is sourced. If you go to the evidence tab, if you just click on it, you can go through the entire movie piece by piece and just click on the quote. It'll bring you to the article where we found it. You can go to our evidence section and rip apart our entire movie. By all means, we want you to. We want someone to tell us we're wrong. We don't want to be the one standing up saying, you know, our government was complicit with the murder of 3,000 people. We don't want to be the people that stand up and say this. We'd love nothing more than to be proven wrong. But right now, it's not happening. They're not coming out and saying anything. And in all actuality, they're making things much, much worse by their continued lying and smoke and mirrors that they're trying to project on the American people. Loose Change now, it's unstoppable. It's a life of its own. It's sweeping the country and sweeping the world in that. And, I mean, this year, it's at Ground Zero. We're going to try to make our presence known. And we're going to all wear, hopefully, a black T-shirt that all says nothing more than investigate 9/11. And hundreds to thousands of people are going to show up, and we're going to make our presence known where they can't ignore us anymore.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I'll be there. And while some people may not be completely convinced by the evidence that's presented here, I think one thing we can all agree upon is that it is important to investigate, to ask questions. So now you've put all this information out there, what can people do?
Right now, the best thing a person can do is go to video.google.com and watch this movie right now. It's free. It takes no time. I mean, all you have to do is click on it. Go to video.google.com and search for Loose Change Second Edition. I mean, it's copyright free. It's out there. I mean, go crazy. Make a million copies of it. Give it to your friends, your family. Hold screenings. You know, write papers. You know, call into radio shows. Make people aware of it because it is. I mean, we held a screening last night in near Poughkeepsie at Arlington High School where we had about 175 students between the ages of 15 and 18 show up. And these people and their family and their parents and these people were completely blown away, and they were shown an idea that they've never even considered. I mean, it just shows, Loose Change shows you the ability to think outside the box. I mean, that's what it is. It's a loose change within your mind. It makes the ability for someone to see outside of what they're told by CNN.
What's in the future for Louder Than Words? Are you guys working on anything new for us?
Absolutely. We're trying to get this in the works right now to get this into movie theaters across the country, because that's going to be what's going to take it to the American people, is being in a theater where they can see it and making it known, and just showing the information and getting it larger. And then aside from that, we're working on a few more projects. You know, not only documentaries, but a first full-length feature film. Actually, the original Loose Change that was written as this whole thing started, we're trying to raise the funding to actually shoot the real movie. So that's where we're at now, and that's hopefully where we'll be.
So is the fictional film going to be centered around the evidence that you've uncovered surrounding September 11th?
The actual movie is more going to be focused around ourselves and how this whole thing went on. Me being in the military and the process I was going through, Dylan writing the film, I mean, living on couches, working at Red Lobster to make ends meet on a crappy little laptop that he made the first movie. I mean, our story is pretty crazy, how we all met up and how everything just kind of came together and where this has gone so far, and then a little fiction about how it might end up. Changing the administration and changing the government back to where the people do rule. I mean, it's a fictional story in the end, but for right now, we're writing up to where we are in our lives, and then we're going to take it to where we hopefully want this movement to go.
Corey, thanks so much for talking to us today. We really appreciate your time.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me on.
Again, you can see the film at loosechange911.com. And everyone take care. We'll see you next week.
Why don't you ask the kids at